Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. And we're here until 5 o'clock. Wildcard Wednesday coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And also, for those of you who have been requesting that we play the audio of our Chicago Podcast Festival appearance, where we did Wood Esmeralda Buy That at the Old Town School of Folk, we're going to play that back in its entirety coming up in a little bit later on in the show. So for those of you who weren't able to make it out that fun night, well, you're going to get to hear it. And that's coming up. We've been at a lot of requests for people who couldn't make it out that night to hear it. And so we are going to replay the live podcast that we did a couple of weeks ago. That's coming up as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You can also text us and talk to us at that line. And also you can check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. All right. Welcoming back to the show one of my favorite regular guests who has been a part of this radio show for many, many, many years. He is a PR expert, been in the PR business for many, many years, is an author of books. He also has the website rlmpr.com. He's been in the PR business for many, many years, and there's a lot to talk about in the world of entertainment and otherwise. And we want to welcome Richard Larmer back to the show. Richard, how are you?
Great. How are you?
All right. Good morning, and welcome
back. Good
morning. Welcome back to the show. We got
there's
a few things that we can talk about.
there sure is.
Yeah. Before we jump into a lot of the stuff that we're going to get into, I haven't spoken with you since the Emmys, and I know that you watch the Emmys, and I was wondering what you thought of Colbert's performance and what you thought of Spicer coming out in general and some of the other Emmy stuff.
Well, I thought that Colbert did a good job, but I thought that they were they sort of missed the boat on the political jokes, because I thought just bringing out Spicer with everything that has gone on this year just seemed a little off. And the way they kind of, you know, it's like tussling his hair, after everything that everybody's been through and his sort of trajectory, I didn't really appreciate it. I just found it a little off-putting, to be honest.
Yeah.
I really did.
That seems to be the predominant thought about it. It was like, we've perceived that this guy was lying to the public every single day. And then suddenly, like, he's coming out and doing a comedy bit. But I mean, that's why I think it left a sour taste in most people's mouths.
It did. It also, it's not so much that he lied, and I'm sure that he did, but it's just that he did it with such glee.
Yeah.
And then to show up and be like, hey, it's me, and all is forgiven, and now I'm an entertainer, and I'm just one of the characters in this play that everybody's living in. It felt weird, and it also felt like a giant gimmick that, and the Emmys are supposed to be a big celebration, and it was, it was one of those moments where you just sort of stared at the TV and went, no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not this time. No.
It was interesting that they cut to Melissa McCarthy about four times during that bit. And she seemed, genuinely confused.
Yeah, she was like, this is my bit.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny. It's also been very strange to watch Saturday Night Live come back, because, there are so many very serious topics going on right now. And, even though Baldwin does a great Trump, it almost seems like he just can't seem to go too far. Not really like he's making fun. It's almost like he's imitating him, and that's not funny.
Yeah, no, it's actively less effective this season.
Yeah.
Obviously less effective. I mean, the cold open this past Saturday was not very funny.
No.
And the cold open on the cold open on for episode one wasn't very good either. And it just seemed, I love Baldwin and I appreciate what he's doing. But I don't know I got a feeling it's run its course. I think it's just not working anymore.
I think they have to find a new way, in the same way that The Onion has to find is searching for a new way to bring comedy to people, because, we're living in a kind of an unusual time for the news.
Yeah.
And every day you read something and you think, is that true or is that made up or is that just hyperbole? You know, is that sarcasm? Is that, you know, it's so hard to figure out whether the news is a farce or farce is news.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. I mean, the Onion has been doing fake news.
Yeah, I mean, the Onion is fake news.
Yeah.
And news is, and a lot of the news is really, really serious. And yet the Onion has always done such a great job of cutting through that. And now they have even admitted in interviews that they're having trouble because, you know, partially because so much of what's happening is so fanciful and so, you know, fact being stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
And then the other side of it is that, you know, it's just all too head shaking for them to figure out.
Yeah, it's crazy. Before we move away from the Emmys, I have to say that I was really, really glad to see Elizabeth Moss finally win an Emmy.
Oh God!
And the fact that A Handmaid's Tale just dominated really was something. For, I'll say something. It's something. It was huge for Hulu. I mean, that's a massive push for Hulu. And I was just really glad that TV show won and that she won Best Actress. It was absolutely deserved.
Yeah, I mean, they really did sort of. They got it all. They got it right this time, and Moss had to win. I mean, she's just done such. It's not just this role, which was fabulous, but I mean, she's just done so many wonderful things, and she's never really gotten her due. And she's one of the major actors of our time.
Yep.
And yeah, it really was, and it's good for Hulu because not only did they, you know, obviously get this and develop it, but a lot of people turned Handmaid's Tale down.
Right.
And Hulu took a real big risk, and they're not the biggest player of all of the streaming services, and this was a big, you know, welcoming party for them in the sense that, you know, they won all these awards, and it'll be great for them because they do have great programming, but all anybody ever talks about is Netflix and Amazon. So
right.
It was a big eye opener for the rest, you know, for all of these fools that turned it down.
Yeah, no kidding. And what a weird time for that, you know, what a very strange time to watch that show. I mean, it was just,
I know.
God, I mean, I watched it every, you know, Wednesday morning when I got home from work, and I was, you know, I personally think it's the best TV show of 2017, but man, it was often, very strange, very weird, and very hard to watch.
Well, I think it was, you know, a novel that was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
In the sense that, you know, Atwood saw something in the world that, you know, people either could relate to or one day we're going to be able to relate to. And they did an amazing job. And it's funny, you know, I think you know this. I'm a huge Gilmore Girls fan.
Yeah.
So it was a real, so Alexis Liddell winning an Emmy was.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. And what was it? Didn't what the producer say, I would like to apologize for doing horrible things to Rory Gilmore.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, it was really fantastic. But no, that was it was fun to watch. You know, I've been a big fan of Elizabeth Moss's for many, many, many years, and thought she deserved all kinds of accolades for her acting, and I was really happy to see
that. Yeah, I wanted her to get an Emmy for West Wing.
Yeah, yeah, go all the way back to West Wing. I mean, all the years she was on Mad Men.
Yeah,
you know,
I know. And, it's amazing. It was really time. It was it was her Don Draper moment.
Yeah. It's funny because, a lot of people who don't know really, you know, much about Hulu now, obviously, as we were just saying, this is a big feather in the cap for Hulu. And a lot of people are going to, but some people were like, I don't want to subscribe to Hulu for just one show, but they have a lot of good, interesting programming.
Yeah. I mean, they did that Stephen King 1963 thing, which I thought was incredibly well done.
Yeah.
You know, and with James Franco, and that was one of those sort of sleeper things that you know, everybody was at one point, everybody was just talking about it, and they kept saying, well, what's it on? It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu, right. And now people were saying that. And also there's that show with Hugh Laurie now is
right.
doing very well on Hulu.
Right.
And I happen to personally love Difficult People.
Oh, me too. No. I worship Difficult
yeah.
People.
I would imagine you would. I mean, that seems like it's right in your wheelhouse. But yeah, that show makes me, there's a lot of good stuff on Hulu, and I hope that more people, you know, subscribe, and I'm glad that it did that. So, Richard, hang on, okay?
Oh, sure.
We've got a lot more to talk about. Richard Larmer is here, and we have to take a break here for news, and we'll come back, and we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, obviously, in the world of entertainment and the world of PR. And we'll do all that right after we take a break for the news. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studios, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, where we are here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Wildcard Wednesday. Any artist, anything, any song, 312-981-7200. Get your requests in right now. Let's get back to our conversation with Richard Larmer. He's our good friend, PR guru, and we want to welcome him back to the show. Richard, we didn't do a proper introduction of yourself in the first segment. So, tell everybody your background and all that stuff.
Sure. So I'm a PR guy, as you said. I've worked in the PR industry for several long and interesting decades. I've written a whole bunch of books on PR and marketing. Punk Marketing is one of my books, and Full Frontal PR. And I'm, a guy who does a lot of writing and public speaking on hype and media and the things that people should know about marketing, and especially now when marketing is kind of an unknown in the business world. That's me. I've been around for a long time.
And tell everybody about this new product that you're launching in a few weeks.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
So two friends of mine and I got together and decided that newswire services were really lacking for businesses. And these are the kinds of services like Business Wire and PR Newswire, where people put out their news, corporations put out their news to, either satisfy financial regulations with the SEC if they're a public company, or just to get the news out there. And what we discovered in our 2 years of research is that most of these wire services weren't really offering anything that was totally worthwhile, and they were charging a lot of money for this. And we thought, well, obviously people are doing it out of habit. So we invented a company called Reportable, which will launch in about 4 or 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We've been in beta at reportablenews.com for, we've been in beta for about 6 or 7 weeks now. And what we're offering is a microsite, a way for people to offer their news through not just text, but with video and with images and logos and bios and quotes and key takeaways and all. It's almost like a little mini press kit. And we also have a wire, like the other wire services. We've invented a wire. Our wire will be targeted to media all over the world that actually works for the particular announcement. And the great thing about us is that we're also using social media. So the headlines of our little microsites will go out to social media sites everywhere. And we have been talking to journalists and bloggers and contributors of news all over the country and found ways in which they want to get their news. So we're going to be sort of the newfangled, technologically based newswire service that companies and people, of course, can use. We're going to do an unlimited feature where basically you can buy as many of these as you want, as many announcements as you want, and we're going to do sort of a quarterly billing of it, so it becomes a lot less expensive and a lot more fun.
Wow, that sounds great!
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're excited.
Very, very cool. And reportablenews.com, and it'll officially launch in about 4 weeks' time.
Yeah, we're just getting all the kinks out, and I spent where I've been in the last couple of months. I've been traveling around the country talking to communications professionals and PR people and businesses about what they want out of something like this, and man, did we get a lot of feedback.
That's great.
So it's been a lot of fun. It's what I do in my spare time.
Right. Okay. Well, inevitably, we have to talk about the Harvey Weinstein thing.
Inevitably.
It is stunning and incredible. And, you know, the all of the women who came out and spoke up, and what has happened, what has transpired since then, him being fired, him being going into rehab, and all of that stuff that took place over the course of a couple of weeks, has really been an incredible story. But for those of us who are kind of in the business or are in the business, not that surprising.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, he's a terrible person, and let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah.
He's always been known for being a terrible person who just has basically been in it for himself. He's sort of like the devil, and everybody in Hollywood knows that. And I always assumed, wrongly, of course, that what he was doing in the privacy of his own office or hotel room was something that everybody knew, but just because he was so powerful, he was just getting away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, which is a horrible thing to have to say, but, you know, Harvey Weinstein was, you know, was sort of synonymous with being like the world's worst, you know, kind of fiend, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, everything he did was a threat or a come on or a, you know, I mean, you know, you saw the jokes on the red carpet about him, and you saw the jokes, you know, in, you know, that Seth MacFarlane made at the Emmy nominations and or Oscar nominations, whatever it was. And the thing is he deserves everything that's happening to him, and it really is. I mean, it's happening. I mean, I don't think in my career have I seen anybody just become such a pariah so fast. But the timing for these stories that came out in the Times couldn't have been worse for him, because, you know, what the statement is saying is not just Hollywood, but that, you know, this kind of lechery and terrible behavior and worse has been going on for a really long time.
Yep.
And he's, unfortunately for him, he's the poster child for what you just can't do.
Yeah, it's I'll tell you,
in any way, shape, or form.
Now, and again, I mean, everybody knew that this guy was a horrible person. He had that reputation for mm-hmm. for many, 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 many years. These incidents, these allegations, are just so horrifying and disgusting that it actually went beyond what I thought he was capable of.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, and it's not funny at all, but the odd thing is that, you know, I've spent a lot of time in L.A., and people are always talking about these rumors of him having done, you know, worse than just lechery. And again, you know, I mean, I know this is a cliche, but this was an open secret. You know, people knew that he was, you know, using his power or in ways that, and it's funny because I always knew he was married, and always wondered about, you know, what his wife must be going through with a husband like that. I will say, though, every day there's another shoe that drops for him, you know, with the Producers Guild and the writers, you know, and the Academy, and, you know, and him losing his book, the book deals and the book chain, and his, I mean, it's almost like, you know, there, like, one person is being, and rightfully so, but is being sort of pointed out as the, you know, this is what happens to you when you go as far as this person went and ruined as many people as he obviously did.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, the response of the people that worked with him in the past. Like Kevin Smith, you know, announced that he is going to donate all of the residuals from any of the Miramax movies that he worked with him on to women's charities.
The only thing that still disturbs me about this is his brother Bob, and how much of this he must have known and how little of it he's talking about. You know, that's a little weird, because they were really tight, and I doubt that he, you know, didn't realize how far it had gone. I mean, that's very, you know, Germany in the 30s,
yeah.
40s. And I feel sort of bad for all the people that work for the Weinstein Group, because they're all going to be out of jobs. And that's a shame, because, you know, either fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it. I mean, they were working on some great projects that probably will never see the light of day.
The other thing about it is what's interesting. I don't know. Did you see the screenwriter Scott Rosenberg's response, what he wrote?
No, I did not.
He wrote Beautiful Girls for Miramax. He also wrote Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead. And he just basically said he knew. Everybody knew, but everybody was on the train, you know, and it was a party and it was fun. And he, you know, Weinstein would throw money in their direction. They would go to parties. They would do this and that. And everybody was having a great time. And he maintains and he talks about how guilty he feels about the fact that he definitely knew what was happening, but didn't say a word because he was on the money train. And it's an incredible piece, actually, Richard. You should check it out. I read it online. I read it online last night. And it's a Scott Rosenberg's response to the incidents and, you know, having worked at Miramax for such a long time. But yeah, I mean, I immediately when all this stuff was starting to break, one, I wasn't very surprised. I was disgusted by it, but I was not shocked. And two, very interested to find out what guys like Quentin Tarantino were going to say, or Matt Damon, or Ben Affleck, or any of these people that worked. There was a time in the '90s when it was the glory days of Miramax, and Harvey Weinstein was like the king in Hollywood.
Yeah, well, you know, he was a household name for what he did to get Oscars.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean, just the horribleness in which he sort of fought that fight and, would fight to the death for his award during the award season and turn the award season to ugly. But behind the scenes, he was, I mean, people would just talk about this lech and the terrible ways that he treated women. And I thought, wow, you know, there's this one guy who's just getting away with it. I will say, though, that the can of worms that's been opened, anybody in any of the Hollywood businesses who has done anything untoward in any way, shape, or form is shaking in their boots right now.
Yeah. I also find it really fascinating and interesting about how people like Alyssa Milano, who started the, you know, whose idea it was to do the Me Too campaign, how that really developed. And like, I mean, I, you know, for hours looking at my news feed was depressing. It was just sad. It was awful. I felt terrible because it was just one woman after the next on my news feed. Me too, me too, me too, with their stories. And so, you know, finding a much needed voice for this is one positive that came out of all this.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of women, and then, really,
yeah,
who've had bad experiences that have just ruined them in one way or another, are having an opportunity, you know, to share and not, you know, sort of stand out as the one story that
right.
everybody's talking about.
Right.
But cumulatively, they're just, I mean, it's just, you just see this abuse that's been taking.
It's overwhelming.
It really is awful.
It is awful and it's overwhelming. And so, but at least, you know, people are starting to find a voice and an avenue where they can tell their stories and not be silent anymore. And that's a good thing.
Do you think Weinstein will see prison?
I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I really do. I feel like it's the, you know, the where it's all headed is investigations in prison.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to go on for a while. So
I know.
But also, I do want to mention one thing. We can maybe end this segment because we're going to take a commercial break on a lighter note. I find it ridiculous and hilarious that Harvey Fierstein was getting horrible posts on his Twitter account.
I saw that. I mean,
I mean, it's the polar opposite of Harvey Weinstein.
Fierstein. Poor Harvey Fierstein. You know, he's got to be the brunt of so many jokes, and this is what happens. This is his life.
Yeah, crazy. Okay, hang on. Okay, Richard.
All right,
Richard Larmer is with us, PR guy, and we got more to talk about here. Always a great time to talk to Richard. Really interesting time at this time to talk to him. And his website is rlmpr.com. And in a few weeks, check out reportablenews.com as well. And we'll be right back on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio. And Richard Larmer is currently my guest. His website is rlmpr.com, and we are talking about all things in the world, entertainment, and his take on many of the things. And Richard, welcome back.
Thank you.
I know one of the things you wanted to talk about was whether or not a movie like Blade Runner is too smart for today's nincompoop movie audiences.
I loved this movie.
So do I.
Really loved it. I had a great time, and it really bombed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it did. It's funny because, you know, I know that the original Blade Runner also tanked when it first came out. I remember that vividly. Like,
right.
it didn't get good reviews, and it made no money. It was considered an absolute bomb. But, of course, over the course of 35 years, the movie has gained a bunch of respect and a big following and is now considered a classic. And I don't know if the same thing is going to happen here, if it's going to take 30 years for people to realize just how great a film the new one is.
I just think it's too challenging for today's audiences. I know that sounds, you know, really a little condescending, I know, but the truth is the reviews were phenomenal, and people were rushing to see it, and the hype was overwhelming, and I just think that, you know, in the Avengers world that we live in, you know, where people are just used to things flying around and people landing on things, that having a story that, you know, you actually have to follow it and learn something and be kind of brought into a real world that was created, you know, intricately. I don't think audiences can sit still for that.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm totally with you on this one, because this is a very challenging film. Mm-hmm. And it's a movie that has really incredible ideas, and it takes the themes from the original Blade Runner and runs with them and takes them into incredible intellectual and fascinating directions. It's not your average, you know, tentpole big budget summer movie. It's just not that. And maybe people were expecting that. I don't know. And also, maybe you agree with me or not, Richard. I don't think the 2-hour and 45-minute running time helped.
Well, you know, it's not La La Land. Let's put it that way.
Right, right.
And yes, it's long. Some of the great movies of our time have been long.
Yeah.
I mean, people should just bring an extra box of Milk Duds with them and sit there and, you know, and get into it and, you know, not have to have a chuckle a minute or a murder a minute sort of thing. I mean, I was really surprised. I thought this movie was going to be enormous to the point of Wonder Woman enormous. And it had all the right parts, you know, like the sum of its parts may have been a problem for moviegoers, but it had all the right parts. And I was really disappointed in the movie going public not to flock to it and really get into it and bring their friends and tell their friends. And I know it made money, but it didn't make nearly the money it was supposed to make.
Right.
And I think I know I said the nincompoop thing, but I really believe that I think that Hollywood has just taken a step back and said, let's just dumb it down as much as we possibly can. You know, there's so many movies and they just disappear.
Right.
They disappear.
Yeah. And that's too bad. And there have been a lot of movies that have come out so far in 2017 that I think were, you know, like you said, Richard, I think a lot of people do want to see the easy to digest stuff and not the not the stuff that's challenging. There was one of my favorite films of the year is Colossal Anne Hathaway and Jason Sudeikis, which is an incredibly original movie. It is a giant monster movie. It's also an allegory in a film about dealing with alcoholism and sobriety. And it is about going home when you can't go back home again. And it's a challenging movie, funny, hugely entertaining, and really interesting to watch when you've gotten sober. And I can speak from experience, Richard, because it's an incredible movie to watch. It's an incredible film about alcoholism that packs a massive punch, and no one went to see it. One of the most original movies of the year, and no one went to see it.
You know, totally coincidentally, iTunes is offering it as their 99-cent movie of the week.
Oh, Okay, well, then people should check out Colossal. That's what I'm saying. It's a great movie.
I mean, it's very interesting you should say that because I haven't seen it, but I was reading about it last night on iTunes going, this sounds really interesting.
Oh, you got, Richard, you got to see it. You got to see it. It is
well,
one.
Well, you know, I've got a dollar sitting here, so yeah, I'm done.
There you go. Richard, always a pleasure, my friend, and people can check it out at rlmpr.com, and then in a few weeks, check out reportablenews.com as well. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Richard. We'll talk
Thanks.
To you soon.
It was really great.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Take care, buddy. There you go. Richard Larmer, everybody. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on 720 WGN. The news is next.